Welcome to People to People, soon to be Basic Gospel. We're here every day at this time to bring the Basic Gospel into your life. Why? Because it's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And our purpose here every day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, and live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. We invite your calls right now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I would love to hear from some of our listeners today. Our question of the day is, how would you define the gospel? And maybe today you define it differently than how you would have defined it years ago. So if that's the case, let's talk about that as well. Just love to hear what you believe the gospel message is. And I think it's going to be interesting if some of our callers actually call in and participate with this. I know so many people are out there struggling in their Christian lives. They are not experiencing the joy of their salvation, and they're wondering what in the world is wrong. And I think the reason we don't experience the joy of our salvation is because we stray away from the basic gospel message instead of realizing that it's a story of Christ, what he accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Not only that, but what he is doing in us, in and through us today. Right. And we forget that and believe it's a story about us, what we're supposed to be doing for God. And we get frustrated, we get up in arms and just all these sorts of things until we finally come to the point and say, I've just had it. I'm just sick and tired of it. And there's no joy. And if that's the case, I think it's time to go back and take a fresh look at this gospel and to see it for what it really is, not just for salvation, but how the gospel message intersects with daily life, just here and now as believers. So I hope a lot of folks will actually call in and weigh in on that particular question. Yeah. What does the gospel mean to you? How would you define it? Well, let's get started in Houston, Texas, and talk with Lee listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Lee.
Hey, y'all. It's good to talk to you.
Nice to hear from you as well, Lee. How can we help you today?
I just love you to pieces, and I got that book, and I really thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, I have a question about the law. Romans 3:31 says we're to uphold it, and Romans 10:4 says that we are no longer bound to it through Christ. That's paraphrasing, of course. And they seem to contradict each other, the scriptures. Can you help me on that?
Well, good question, Lee. Insightful question. What does Romans 3:31 and Romans 10:14, what are those two verses actually talking about? Romans 3:31, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all, rather we uphold the law. Well, the subject matter of Romans chapter 3 is sin. This chapter declares all to be sinners. There's no one that is good. There's no one that can claim that they are righteous in the sight of God. If we're going to be saved, we need somebody to save us. We're not capable of saving ourselves. And so through faith in Jesus Christ, we are upholding what the law has said about us. The law has condemned us. It has said that we deserve punishment. And then when we put our faith in Jesus, the one who has taken our punishment for us, we're upholding what the law has said. But then when we move to Romans 10, and it says Christ is the end of the law, now that we're in Christ, the law has nothing more to say to us. It condemned us. It judged us. It said the punishment was death. Jesus Christ took it for us. So there's nothing more for the law to say. So we uphold it in faith, communicating, agreeing with the law that we're sinners, that we need to be saved by the grace of God. We uphold it in that confession. But once we've upheld it and have been made alive together with Christ, now the law has nothing to say to us.
Well, let me ask you, Bob, as a Gentile, how would it apply to us anyway, as far as, illustrating our sinful state?
Well, we're all under the law of sin and death. I mean, that's just a spiritual truth. It's universal in application. There's not one single person that's ever been born that was not under the law of sin and death. For the Jew, the Mosaic covenant helped them to see their personal condition. For us, the Gentiles, as it talks about in Romans 2, we have a law unto ourselves. I mean, it's our consciences that condemn, that judge. And so we know right from wrong, and we know because of that that there's something wrong with us. And that's
so it's just to illustrate our fallen state more than anything, but it's not a standard by which we must adhere to?
Not a standard to live up to, because we can't. That's why God sent His Spirit to live His life through us. Our life is to be lived by faith in the resurrected Christ. So we just trust Him to live His life through us. That's when we get to experience joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and all of those wonderful things.
Yeah, that sounds terrific, Bob.
Well, Lee, sure appreciate your call today.
Yes, sir, and it was wonderful talking to you, and I'm really proud of you, buddy.
Well, thank you, Lee. You call anytime, okay? Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lee.
Well, this is People to People, soon to be Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. We're going to go out to Lewis in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, listening to us on WFAX. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing well.
All right, great. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on what you were saying as it relates to what did the gospel mean. And to me, it just means, it means freedom. It means justification from everything that was against us. Christ made it right. The wall, the partition that was there between us and God, Jesus did it all. And I'm just happy. I'm grateful. I'm thankful for what He's done in my life and what He's done in the lives of those that have come to Him. And I'm just thankful that that opportunity has been afforded to all of us to be able to accept Christ and receive, in turn, eternal life.
Yes, indeed, Lewis. Well, that is just an excellent testimony. What does it mean to me? Freedom, justification, being made right. That's exactly what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection has brought to us who have responded to it by faith. Freedom from the law of sin and death, justification, being declared righteous in the sight of God, just being made right. It's just a wonderful thing. Well, Lewis, we sure appreciate you weighing in on that question, and thanks for that great testimony. Well, you're welcome. Somebody listening and they've never come to Christ by faith, you can see right in Lewis's comments the benefits of turning to Him and receiving His very life. I mean, to have freedom, gosh, that's what we all long for. That's what we want, gosh, just so much, is to be free. There's only one way to be free, and that's through Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, indeed, this is People to People, soon to be Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. We have some open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Eugene, Oregon, and talk with James, listening to us on KORE. Hi, James.
Hello. Good afternoon. Whenever I first come to Christ, I didn't have a clue what the gospel was. I thought the gospel was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that's what I'd always been taught.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of people that would say the same thing, don't you?
Yeah, I just did. I don't know exactly when I was born again, just like a little baby doesn't know when he's born out of the mother's womb. But whenever I come to realize that I was in deep trouble, I had a problem and I couldn't solve it. And I thought to myself, Christ Jesus can, because what I'd been reading was telling me He was the answer. And so I did in my heart, and God accepted it, and I was born again. It wasn't until maybe, I've been in Christ now 25 years. It probably wasn't for the first 15 years. I was still under the confusion of what the gospel is and who Jesus is and was. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago, whenever I stood up in Sunday school class one time and I says, I don't know what's wrong, but what I'm hearing is not what I'm reading in Scripture. And about 6 months later, I found people, Bob George and them, and I started looking and reading. And the best thing that he ever told me on the radio was, don't believe a thing I say, you go read for yourself.
Yeah, the Word of God is the standard for truth. The Word of God is the information that leads us to Jesus and helps us to understand that it's all about Him. It's His story being lived out in our lives. James, you bring up a great point. So often we hear the words of the gospel, but when those words are filtered through our legalistic minds, it comes out a legalistic message. Here's what we're supposed to do for Jesus. Here are the rules that we're supposed to follow. Here's what we're supposed to be doing. And boy, those can become tiresome. And eventually we have to come to the point, just as you did, and say, something's wrong. And what's wrong is that we haven't actually heard the story of Jesus, what His death, burial, and resurrection not only means for us as far as conversion or salvation is concerned, but what it means to us in the practical daily living of the Christian life. Well, James, thanks for weighing in on today's day's topic. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on our great affiliate, KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. I believe that the gospel means the good news, and that in order to see why the news is good, you have to understand what the bad news is. And of course, that's what the law does, is reveal that we are sinners, separated from God, dead to God, and in need of salvation, and that the only salvation available to us is through faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith is that His death on the cross was a sacrifice once for all sin, that God reconciled the entire world to Himself through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that in and of itself does not save you, but it enables you to be saved, which is to receive His resurrected life, which is represented by when He resurrected from the dead, so too do we resurrect from the dead. And all of that is made possible by the new covenant, which was ratified as evidenced by His death. Like the writer of Hebrews says, it's necessary to prove that the one who wrote the will, and that's what His burial brought about. And so if you don't believe that His death took away all of your sins from the sight of God forever, then as the writer of Hebrews puts it, you're treating His blood as an unholy sacrament.
Yeah. Well, William, you've just nailed the gospel message. And
yeah,
I tell you, you know, it's good news, and then it just becomes better news over time. We first respond to it, and boy, that little bit that we really understand is good news and brings joy to our heart. And then when we see the full scope, or start seeing the full scope of what Christ has accomplished, and that's exactly what you've been describing here, then that joy just expands in our hearts and souls. And man, you just come away and say, man, this is better than I ever dreamed or imagined. This isn't good news. This is great news.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's bringing joy to my heart. So, William, thanks for weighing in on today's broadcast.
Sure.
We sure appreciate it.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
Thanks for articulating that gospel message.
Yeah. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. We have time for your call if you get on the line right now. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, we have something that we want to put in your hands. It's called The Basic Gospel Journey. It is a CD that the three of us collaborated on, had discussions about the gospel message, not only in terms of salvation, but in terms of daily living. God has a journey for all of us. It's a journey that He accompanies us on. He's right there with us every step of the way. He's doing His work in and through us. And as we abide and trust in Him, we get to experience the joy that William was talking about that, the excitement and the enthusiasm of being in a relationship with Christ. Well, we want to put that message into your hands, and it is available to you for a gift of any amount to people this month. You can order that copy by going to our website, realanswers.net, or you can call Billy, who's waiting to hear from you right now, at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Just call Billy or Jeannie. They will answer the phone. You just tell them you want a copy of The Basic Gospel Journey, and we will get that on its way.
Two of the nicest ladies you'll ever talk with.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to North Kingston, Rhode Island, and talk with Patrick, listening to us on WARV. Hi, Patrick.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Well, you are welcome. Thanks for joining in on today's broadcast.
Of course. Love what you guys are doing with the program.
Well, thank you. How can we help you today?
My question today is, I'm looking for a biblical perspective on female senior pastors in the church.
Well, Patrick, I think, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 2, or I think it's actually 1 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 3 really speak to that matter. It talks about women not having authority or teaching and that sort of thing. A lot of biblical scholars look at that and say, you know, that the office of pastor is really set apart for a man, for a male. And I think Paul kind of underscores that as he goes in and gives the qualifications for an overseer. Now, that doesn't relegate women to a secondary role or doesn't say that they're important in ministry whatsoever. I think some of the greatest ministry that has ever taken place on this planet has been carried out by women who have been faithfully abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing the Lord to live his life in and through them. So it's just really talking about an office there. So that's where you would go to look and kind of dig deep into the Word of God and see what it's really saying there. But I don't think at any point can we say that women aren't allowed to be in ministry. We are all given the ministry of reconciliation. We've all been equipped to carry out this ministry of the new covenant, whether male or female. And we need to do so with passion. We need to do so with conviction. We need to share with as many people as possible this great news about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick, we sure appreciate your call.
Sure.
Let's go on to Calgary, Alberta, and talk with Don, listening to us on CHRB. Hi, Don.
Hello there.
Welcome.
I was responding to your question about what the gospel meant to us, and to me, it's the gospel of grace and peace. Of course, someone said it was good news, and grace. Grace, to me, the way we define it in our little group is it's what you get that you don't deserve, like righteousness, peace, and joy from God, and then the gospel of peace is what you don't get that you do deserve, wrath, judgment, and anger from God.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. Great insight there, Don. I think that's exactly right. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And we experience both in this wonderful gospel message. And the thing about it is that gospel message, first and foremost, brings about salvation. When we trust in Christ initially, we go from death to life. But now that we're saved, now that we have new life, it's this gospel message that fuels this new life in everyday experience. So the gospel isn't just about salvation. The gospel is to invade every single area of our lives, and that's what makes it such great news, and that's why it keeps getting better and better and better over time. Well, Don, thanks for weighing in on today's broadcast. Let's go to El Paso and talk with Spencer, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Spencer.
Sir, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Hey, actually, I was calling in reference to the military and the Bible. And I've heard some of the other gentlemen call in, and I just, you know, I'm putting a reference in my frame of mind what the gospel means to me, and I thought I'd like to hit on that real quick. Is that fine?
That is fine. Have at it.
I'm 37. My wife and I are both in the Army. And to be honest with you, I think the interesting thing about what Jesus said about people in the world, you know, that are dead to what's actually happening on spiritually. I think even people who are in the world who are lost, who know what's going on in the world, to me, that's what makes the gospel what it is, because the people who are lost don't even pay attention to what's going on, don't really have the realization of how bad things are and or how lost they are. The people who are lost see the world, who put that, visualize that in their head, and they are very let down by the things in this world. They're brought down. They're very discouraged. And then the gospel of Christ comes along to those people. What an amazing, I think, you know, when you hear those songs, what an awesome God we serve. And that's what makes the gospel so amazing, is because those people realize there's an out for them, because everything seems so hopeless to grow. And when they come to the realization of what Christ is, what the gospel, what God's plan is for their life, that the amazing way that they can see themselves being turned around by that speaks for what the gospel is all about. It's a life-changing experience.
It is a life-changing experience. It really puts us on a whole new trajectory as far as our day-to-day living is concerned. I mean, it turns us around 180 degrees. We're going in one direction. Now we're going in the complete opposite direction. And it's the most wonderful thing that there is. I remember in college and was a part of a fraternity. And, you know, the life in a fraternity centered on that keg that was there every Friday night, Saturday night. That's the centerpiece of everything that we did as a fraternity. And our particular fraternity actually had some Christians in it. And so we weren't always at the keg, but it was the most interesting thing when we saw a brother, a fraternity brother, come to know the Lord. One Friday night, they were at the keg partying with all the other guys. The next week, they were in the Bible study group talking about the goodness of Christ Jesus. And it was fabulous to see, and there was only one explanation, and that was the grace of God, the saving life of Christ Jesus, making a difference in their lives. Well, Spencer, we sure appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you that CD, The Basic Gospel Journey. You hold on. Let's go to Bob in Wilmington, North Carolina, listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Bob.
Hello, this is Bob. I just wanted to comment on your question, what the gospel means.
Okay.
Two things came to mind. I don't think it's been mentioned yet. One is out of Ephesians 2, where we're told that we were strangers and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and we were without God and without hope in the world. And this cross and this gospel has completely reversed that. We are no longer aliens, no longer strangers. We're no longer hopeless, and we're no longer without God in this world. And I think that's an amazing thing the gospel has done for us.
That's huge, isn't it? That is huge.
That is huge. And, of course, it goes on to explain that's what the blood of Christ has done. But there's another element that I keep thinking about, and we all know what an orphan is. And I've not been an orphan. I've been fatherless, but I've not been an orphan. And to think of the gospel as being no longer an orphan, I've worked with some orphans, and certainly we have ministries to orphans, but just that idea of being brought out of that hopeless condition into the Father's house and having the inheritance with Christ, yeah. Join him.
That is just a great point, Bob. We've been adopted into the family of God, and we'll never be orphans as far as our relationship with him is concerned. Well, Bob, thanks for weighing in on today's broadcast. We sure appreciate your insight.
Yes, indeed. And during the month of June, friends, People to People and Basic Gospel have a CD for you. It's called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours this month for a gift of any amount. So please go online to basicgospel.net and click the prominent link labeled A Gift for You. We'll get a copy out to you right away. Also, remember, too, that you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO, so we hope you'll do that as well. Please go online again to basicgospel.net for your free CD, and we'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.